Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. We love this time of the week because we get to talk to the great John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. The trade deadline has come and gone. We saw, a few moves across the NFL. But, it's still kind of funny to me, and I remember talking to Floyd about this, that it just never really felt like the deadline was all that active. And it's a little bit more active nowadays, but not like other sports. I guess I understand it a little bit, but it's just kind of interesting to see that maybe it's gotten a little bit more active in the last few years.
It is more active because it puts the date back, but it's a bunch of teams trying to get rid of players. If those players were any good, they'd still be on their teams. Now, DeAndre Hopkins getting to go to Patrick Mahomes and play with him for a winner is great for D-Hop. He had 2 touchdowns. But he's not the player he used to be, but they can use him in situations like they did the other night, and it worked great for him. But most guys, teams are going to cut him anyway. And a deal like Marshon Lattimore going to the Commanders, and they act like, boy, that's a game changer. One reason you don't see more trade is because one player doesn't make a difference, especially a guy that's expendable by another team. Lattimore is not the player he used to be, but is he better than what they got? I guess so. And nobody costs a lot. The only guy that costs a lot in terms of the trade deadline was Jonathan Mingo, terrible second-year receiver for Carolina, traded to the Cowboys for a 4. I can't imagine the Panthers wouldn't have done it for a 5. But, and he's going to go up there, and he's got Cooper Rush, maybe Trey Lance to play with for the next 4 or 5 weeks. But that was an act of desperation, which the Cowboys have become notable for. And if I had to pick one that happened yesterday, I thought Marshon Lattimore was the best. He can play corner. He can play safety. And most of these guys, like Hopkins – and Lattimore, my God, they got to feel like they died and went to heaven. They're playing with contenders, Super Bowl contenders, and not teams just contending for the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, it's definitely changed for them. I am excited to talk to you about this. You texted me the other night, and we talked about it a little bit. But you were obviously a Hall of Fame voter, and we've talked about that on the show before. But I know for you, trying to get Bud Adams in the Hall of Fame is a really big, important thing for you, and that process is beginning. So I'll kind of turn it over to you and let you explain it to our listeners a little bit more, but I know you're very, very involved in trying to get Bud in the Hall.
Geez, I thought you guys were going to ask me about that big Titans victory. You always ask me about the losses.
We will. We'll get to that. Don't worry.
The Hall of Fame has changed the bylaws this year about the process. And they have a seniors committee, which I've been on for about 20 years. And they've had in the past, they had a coaches contributors committee, and they split it, which they should have done originally. So Bud is a contributor. And then they move some guys around. They ask the guys on the subcommittee, like the seniors committee, you want to move? And I volunteered to move to the contributors committee. Didn't know if they'd let me or not. And they did. And so Bud has made the cut to 9 for the first time, which means he gets talked about in the room by members of the contributors committee. And next Tuesday, I'll make a presentation on Bud that focuses on him being a pioneer who co-founded the American Football League with Lamar Hunt and all the things he did between 59 and the merger in 65. And then later, Bud was always colorblind, and I'm going to use some examples about one of the first black assistant general managers, one of the first, if not the first, 3 black quarterbacks on his roster, made Warren Moon the highest paid player in NFL history in 84, of course, drafted Steve McNair and Vince Young, 3rd overall. And you only have 5 minutes. And when you talk about history, I'm not going to make anything that has to do. If they got questions about anything, that's fine. I hope I'll be able to answer them. But we always ask, can you write the history of pro football without this candidate? You cannot write the history of pro football without Bud. and I hope to show them how Bud and Lamar turned down George Halas's offer. He was going to promise Lamar the new Dallas franchise in 60 and Bud the new Minneapolis franchise in 61. They turned him down. How Bud traded the rights to Joe Namath to the Jets, which saved the Jets and maybe the AFL. Things like that. It's an honor to be able to do it. He's a long shot because we pick one. The coaches committee pick one. On that committee, I think the one that should be the nominee is Mike Shanahan, but I don't have a say in that. And in the seniors, there'll be three. In the past, anybody that was nominated by a subcommittee, the big committee just rubber stamped them 99% of the time. But they've changed it. So those five, three seniors, one coach, one contributor, will go into the finals, and three of them can make it. But for three of them to make it, they got to get 80% of the vote. So I'm just glad Bud got to the nine. And if it doesn't work, good chance it won't, we'll start over and do it again next year.
John, let me ask you, why do you think Bud has not been put in yet?
Joe, I believe because people think of Bud. Bud, like I'm cutting it off at like 65. And I'm trying to show the historical significance. And there's a lot of things he did back then. And if they want to ask about other things, you know, firing Bum Phillips, moving the team, all kind of things. If they wanted to dredge up quotes from players blasting Bud because he wouldn't pay them. And there's a lot of things out there, and I don't think they'll be doing that, but they might. You just never know. So there's me and there's eight of them. I'll make a presentation. Others can speak up on Bud's behalf. I hope they do. But there's a lot of worthy candidates. The other owners who are in this group are Bob Kraft and Art Modell. They're not pioneers. Bud's a pioneer. Kraft's got, six Super Bowl trophies? Bud's got zero. But anyway, they did not have the impact on pro football that Bud Adams did. So I'm hoping some other guys will say good things about him. But most of them, I don't think, know about Joe Namath. I've been writing these stories and broadcasting them since the early 2000s when the Super Bowl was in Houston in 04. I did long, multiple interviews with Bud and Lamar Hunt about the good old days. And they told me stories I didn't know, like the thing about George Allison offering those franchises, about the rights to Joe Namath. And I remember being on the NFL Network one time and telling their morning group about the Namath thing. And one of the guys on there at the time said, I read two books on Joe Namath. And I didn't know that. I said, well, Bud Adams told me and Lamar Hunt confirmed it. So the key is to just, I think that the committees just didn't know. And the only way you really would is get to be able to make a presentation, which I'll do, and I'll do it to the best of my ability. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, I'll try again next year. It took three presentations to help Andre Johnson get in the Hall of Fame.
Well done. All right, but I mean, John, I might have misspoke earlier, but talk about Bud. But are all the original AFL, not all the owners are in the Hall of Fame, correct?
No, they're not, no.
Because I know Billy Sullivan founded the Patriots. He's not in, and I know.
No, the only one that's in is Lamar and Ralph Wilson. Let me think a minute. Of the originals.
Al Davis.
Al wasn't the original owner. Al was a coach.
Okay.
I think that's all from 1916.
I know Baron Hilton's not in because he had the Chargers.
Yeah. No.
You know,
Al was an assistant coach with the Chargers, and they got their butts kicked by the Oilers in the first two American Football League championship games.
You know, it's crazy, John. You thought when Ralph Wilson went in, because I remember that was the 2009 year, because that's when the Titans played the Bills up in Canton. There was a lot of talk about Bud then, and then now we're sitting here 15 years later, and it's barely moved. And if it weren't for you, John, I'm not sure it would move at all.
Oh, I don't have any idea about that. I don't, you know, I'm not going to say that, and I don't have any idea. But I'll say this: Ralph Wilson went to court, had teams that went to four consecutive Super Bowls, and Bud had a team that went once. And winning and losing, to me, is not an issue. It's all about historical and what he did that affected the history of pro football, both leagues.
He is John McClain joining us. We'll have more with him coming up next. John is brought to you by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. Visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. More with John next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Wednesday. Continuing our discussion with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. All right, John, I promised I'd ask about it. Titans get a win. It wasn't pretty. It was actually very ugly. I heard that prison systems actually made their inmates watch that game as punishment. But that's how it was. But what did you think about Brian Callahan? He got emotional after the game. They get their second win of the year.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you this. I got to tell you something else about Bud. Old Ugly's better than Old Nothing. It's like my old high school girlfriends. And I think anytime you win, especially when you've been losing, you know, a win's a win. Hopefully they can build on it. Something else I thought about Bud, Steve Underwood, who's, you know, longtime executive with Oilers and Titans, he still works for him. And Steve's come up with a bunch of good ideas about Bud. Number one, having a much more extensive thing on their website about Bud, including all these historical things that gets into detail. And he came up with an idea last year about a documentary. And you see all these things on Pro Football Life on NFL Network. And they rerun them over and over and over. And I've seen them all multiple times. Well, there should be one on Bud Adams on there. So Amy Adams Strunk would have to approve all this. And Amy's a part owner of the NFL Network. And so if we can do a documentary, then Amy ought to be able to help us get it on the NFL Network and then run a reduced version on TennesseeTitans.com. And because people that are Titans fans should know Bud's historical impact on pro football in detail. And there's still a lot of things that I haven't even talked about because we don't have the time that are historical about Bud. So anyway, Steve's got a lot of great ideas, and I don't have time to put everything to fruition. He and I talk about it constantly. So hopefully you guys will see a whole lot more about Bud Adams coming up over hopefully the next year.
Let me ask you this, John, just because I love this discussion. How much would that Super Bowl win have changed a lot of, you know, changed things for Bud? I mean, I even put maybe Jeff and Floyd in there, you know, for McNair, for the players. Like, is it that close and that matter that much to win a championship?
It's something you can use, but that's not going to get – that wouldn't have gotten Bud in the Hall of Fame. You know, Bud, if you look over his career starting in about seven – well, he changed coaches like to change socks, and they went through a bad period. And then when he hired Bump Phillips, that turned around the franchise. And so there were a lot of things that he did that got negative publicity for a long time. And so that's why I'm focusing on everything starting – when Lamar Hunt came down to Houston from Dallas, I believe he was 25 at the time, and Bud was 33, and Bud didn't know him. The interview was set up by one of Lamar's older brothers, Nelson Bunker Hunt, and Lamar came down there. Bud picked him up, took him to dinner. They talked about everything under the sun except pro football, other than the fact both of them had tried to buy the Cardinals, and the Bidwell family wasn't selling. And Bud had hosted some exhibition games. Bud was a Broadway producer at one point. Many people know that. And so when Lamar gets out of the car at Hobby Airport, he says, by the way, Bud, I'm thinking about starting a new league, and I'd like you to be my first partner. What do you think? And Bud said, I'm in. And from that point on, they were trying to bring in partners, and that's when Hallis heard about it and tried to buy them off. And when they wouldn't do it, he kicked them out of his office yelling at them, going down the hall, you're going to destroy pro football. You're going to create a final financial bloodbath that nobody will recover from. You are the ruination of pro football, as they went down the steps.
Is Mike McCarthy just, I mean, is he just going to enjoy a paycheck for the rest of the year and then be done? I mean, there's no way Jerry can keep him, right?
No, McCarthy's gone. And then it just, will he go for Bill Belichick, who he has great respect for? Would Belichick want to work for him? And or would he try to go out and hire a former head coach or a hot young coordinator? He's done everything. But they're the dregs. And Dak Prescott getting hurt is not going to save McCarthy's job where they go, oh, if Dak was here, we would have done better. Because Dak was there, and they were terrible other than that victory at Pittsburgh.
John, how good do you think the Arizona Cardinals are?
Oh, gosh, Joe, I tell you, I'm stunned. I don't think they're legitimate. The division's terrible. That's good for them. But I think with McCaffrey coming back to the 49ers, I think the Rams are slowly getting players back. I don't see the Cardinals making the playoffs, but it'll sure get fans pumped up for next season.
Tampa Bay is 4-5, but, John, I think that's a very good football team. What do you think about the Buccaneers?
I think that they played as well as they could play against the Chiefs. Todd Bowles made a big mistake, clock management. Then he made a big mistake, not going for two to win. And then I thought it was so funny when Mahomes won the coin toss and all those pictures showed Baker Mayfield looking to the heavens and rolling his eyes because he knew it was over. Bowles blew it. If you're a head coach and you go for two to beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium and it doesn't work, nobody is going to hold it against you. They're going to praise you for being aggressive.
Oh, I totally agree. Saquon Barkley with the Eagles, is he the reason that team's playing well?
I think that Nick Sirianni has more trust in first-year coordinator Kellen Moore, who came from the Eagles. Jalen Hurts playing better. You know, Barkley's made what will be the SP play of the year, no matter what happens. I've never seen that in my 48 years of covering the NFL where a guy jumped over a guy backwards.
Right.
So he's a big piece of the puzzle, but Hurts is not turning the ball over like he has for the last 2 years, and they've gotten on a hot streak.
Well, you've never seen Chase McCabe on Broadway. He's jumped over people backwards. Last one for me real quick,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, but he wasn't sober, right?
That's right. John, the Cleveland Browns, I mean, just continually a disappointment. Is there a common denominator throughout the years of why this franchise is just so bad?
The Haslam ownership. Getting Deshaun Watson, and obviously they wouldn't have made the team take him. You know, they might have had a problem with the money and the full guarantee. But when Watson took that deal, he had already crossed the Browns off. He didn't want to go to Cleveland. He didn't want to play on Lake Erie in one of the two windiest stadiums in the country, along with Chicago, which is on Lake Michigan. And so they went back to the drawing board and said, okay, what can we do? Well, somehow they came up with $230 million totally guaranteed. So when he went there, his heart wasn't in it. He had crossed them off, and then he started having all those setbacks. They had, you know, Nick Chubb's injury killed him. They have to be able to run the ball in Cleveland historically. But, boy, they're wasting Myles Garrett. They're wasting good defense. You know, Jameis Winston, they thought, oh, we're going to win now with Jameis. And, you know, it was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers for one game, and that was it. And then all of a sudden they went somewhere else, and he was Jameis, and he was awful. And so I think like other teams that are terrible, and they're going to have their first number one pick since the trade where they had to give 3 in a row to the Texans. And they need to draft because their cap figure is awful, and they have to bring Watson back at least one more year. They cannot get rid of him now and have $170 million cap hit. So I think they ought to do him like they did in Houston 2021. You're not going to play. You work out on your own and then go home.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the right way to handle it. John, always enjoy this conversation. Good luck with the presentation on Bud, and we'll talk next week.
Well, I look forward to it, guys. Thank you very much. Chase, Big Joe, y'all have a great rest of the week.
You too. John McClain joining us, HoustonTexans.com, where you can find his work, and he's presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. Visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way.
He's a national treasure, man.
He really is.
He's great.
He is. Coach Derek Mason, MTSU, coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.